This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 237 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
I'm not really here.
He's actually here, but Joe and I had a crazy week. We did not record an episode, but we are going to put our pre-show episode that we recorded with Tyler Brickley last week out to the main feed here, so you guys can get a little feel for what our pre-shows are like, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. Tyler Brickley, Joe and Robin, coming up next.
I'm on.
All right, what's up, everybody? Episode 236 pre-show. Robin and Joe in the Shedio. Tyler Brickley, remote from a place that is soon to be not his place, because I can see boxes.
Is that the first time you had got his name like correct intentionally? I know the first time it wasn't intentional, and then you intentionally got it wrong forever, ever since then. But that was like on point.
So
I really hope Tyler comes back. He's like, actually, that's not
my name. It's Kyle. No, so I'm at Masters, right? I'm at hole two. I'm filming Matt Bell and Nate Sexton, who's thrown way down the hill. He's looking up.
Let's just name drop a few more times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anybody else nearby that you feel
Drew
like?
Drew Gibson was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, we don't care about that one. Yeah, but anyways.
No, but the point is, Nate Sexton looks up the hill and he says, Tyler, how far are you from the basket? And I'm like, am I allowed to be talking to these guys? You know, and I'm like, 80 feet. He's like, but you're pin high? I'm like, yeah. And so he throws a beautiful out. And then when we walk into the next hole, he was like, I had to pause for a second, dude. What's the fake name that I always call you? He said, I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, you call me Skyler. Skyler, dang it. He's like, I was trying to yell that at you. He said, but then I couldn't think of it. So I just had to call you by your real name. He was so disappointed.
Now, this is one of those, like, wake up in the middle of the night. You could have just been like, excuse me, Nate, my name is Skyler. And it probably would have clicked right away, and he would have just...
There would have been a giggle. It probably would have made video somewhere. Matt Bell probably would have taken the win right there just because you threw him off.
He took it right there. Jeff Spring walks up out of nowhere.
Yeah, you just ruined Team DGA by not just diving into the joke.
I was so nervous, though. I was like... I'm going to be the guy who's like in somebody's line, or I speak when I'm not supposed to. I've never really been on a card at a big event. So I was and that was the second hole in. I was definitely nervous.
It's weird. It's like really strange. If you want to see a dude, big fat dude blasting nips in floral shorts, you can watch my content first round SFO.
How did you get my browsing history?
Hey, don't worry about it.
Okay.
And you know what? I won't talk about the other things
just
I saw.
Just for the record, Tyler, just because you put on private browsing doesn't mean
you guys can
it can't be tracked.
Big guy's nips in a floral shirt.
Daddy can still see your what you searched for.
So for sure, when I was there the first time, like carrying FaZe's bag, I totally was like, oh shit! And am I in like an awful position? Am I allowed to go 2 feet further? Do I need to stay over here? I don't know. And hole two exactly was right about where I was just like, I'm just gonna like roll with this, and some will tell me if I'm really fucked, but I'm just going to kind of like act like I know what I'm doing and you know, be as cordial and professional as I can, but I don't know.
Yeah, it took a little bit of getting used to. I think I did cost Yuli a stroke, and I feel really, really bad. I haven't talked to him about it yet. I need to send him a message. I'm going to do that right now, actually.
Well, never just put your hand in someone's back pocket while they're putting. Like, no one wants that.
Look at Tyler going from name dropping to
let me just message this like
and message
drop
this.
No, I really hope he gets back with me. I heard he dropped out, by the way, of Portland. Did you guys hear that?
Did he really?
No.
He dropped out. He had some rib pain.
Because he's going to switch to DGA and he wants to make
sure he's
got time to do it.
Yeah, he needs to learn the disc. We told him we don't want you to just roll right into an event before you learn our discs because you'll probably make a fool of yourself. And we're too big for that.
Oh, time out. He can actually throw your disc, though, can't he?
For sure.
Oh, that's rad.
Hey.
Well, and also,
is it his ribs?
His ribs, it was bugging him at Masters, and he played through it, and then he made a post that was actually kind of like threefold. It was like, hey, I'm dropping out, I'm in a lot of rib pain, this course is way too long for me, oh, and by the way, it's way too long in general, and I'll be back for the next one. So there was definitely a lot in the post.
So here's a fun question for you.
Okay.
And we've talked about, Rob and I have talked about this, and maybe more so myself. When we started the pod, five-ish, or five-plus years ago, the first few years, I wasn't a Yuli fan. I don't know that I disliked him, but they hit a point where I was like, I don't really like this dude. Like, when the height of his, like, step-through putt, I was like, I don't know. And within the last 10 months, I love Yuli. I don't know what I was thinking.
No.
Like, are you there?
Yeah, I told Scott that actually up there. I was like, obviously, all the guys on our team, like, I've gotten to know them a lot more personally because of being up there. And like, Trevor Harbolt, you guys have to have him on, by the way. He is a
blast.
Well,
I met him at OTB.
Oh, you did? Okay. He is hilarious.
I did. I saw him and I was like, I need to go and just talk to this dude because I know Tyler would want me to.
Yeah. Right.
And I like almost would just be like, hey, Tyler, I went and chatted with
because Tyler would want me to. But aside from our team, I told Scott, Yuli is like just the best. He's my absolute favorite. That dude is so funny. So funny. I got to just walk around with him because he was on a card that Trevor was on and I was filming Trevor.
God, more name drops. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Macbeth was carrying my camera stuff and, you know, Jeff Spring was there. He just keeps offering me work after work. I'm like, dude, I'm spoken for. Stop. You know, then I woke up, I got ready, we went to the Masters Cup, nobody talked to me. Actually, this is a name drop, but it's self-deprecating. Jerm,
like, actually, everyone talked to me.
Jerm asked me, I walked up and we were talking on the practice screen for a second, and he was like, dude, how many autographs have you given out since you've been here? And I just started laughing. I was like, dude, I've given out like maybe 4 autographs like in the last 2 years. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, nobody like... people don't like walk up to me and be like, hey, the disc golf comedy
guy. But let's
guy.
Bring it back around. How many autographs did you get at Masters Cup in the end?
I didn't. None. Well, maybe a team. There was a team member that like we all went out to eat beers and we signed a disc, but it wasn't like an autograph. I did have people say hi, but I didn't. Yeah, I definitely didn't get any autographs.
I mean, I gave an autograph at OTV, but no big deal.
Oh, you did? Somebody was like, Joe, from the podcast, can I have your autograph?
To be totally honest, and I'm not trying to like be a piece of shit, like that actually happened, and it made my decade.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Like, I never, ever in my life would think someone would be like, I know who you are. Please sign this disc.
Okay, A, you deserve it. B, I've got 3, so settle up. B, you guys, that's a more impressive autograph because you have a podcast. You don't have a YouTube channel where people are seeing your face. So the fact that somebody could connect, you know, that is.
Well, yeah, they're like, fat dude blasting Nip's beard. I heard the voice. Let's get it.
Right.
He's smart, you know.
Right.
He's the only only person crushing seltzers in the fairway.
I was drinking beers, which I shouldn't have been. I probably should have just been rocking seltzers, but you know, it is what it is.
See, I had a couple people recognize me for disc golf comedy, but a ton of people recognized me for DGA, which I just loved. I didn't expect that.
Oh, that's rad. That's
because
great.
I'm there at De La, right? And I had there are all these people who were like, you made that video about the pipeline. That's my favorite disc. Or like, hey, thanks for what you're doing for DGA. And there was just all this DGA love. And like, that's what people connected me to. And I loved that. That was like really cool.
So I promise I won't bring this up on the main show, but how do you then feel about seeing disc catchers all over De La, which has traditionally been a mock blank course?
Somewhere between like sad and devastated. It's hard, guys. Honestly, it's hard. And it's a long story that I definitely won't get into. But, you know, that was the Steady Ed, you know, Masters Cup. That was like,
yeah,
I was forever. Watching it and I'm like, where are the mock X's that were installed like
3 years ago?
3-4 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like at most?
No.
I think it was one to the Delta Windjammers.
The X's were longer than 4 years ago, weren't they?
Oh, we're old.
We've got a video.
We went there shortly after them going.
Yeah, we've got a video of them being installed. I want to say like 2016 or 17.
Okay. That could be it.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah.
It's hard
for a minute, right?
Every year it's hard for me to be like, oh, I haven't only been playing 5 years. And I don't have an ace.
All right. I've
right?
God. Second triggering DGA.
Okay. Oh, no. This needs to be main show.
You think so?
You got to save that for main show.
Really?
What was
I thought
it?
This
was a pre-show
I saw the
thing.
Corner of a disc. Nobody's
going to know what it means
in
the main
show.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess pre-show. Okay.
So you guys posted or you put up how many of the glow flies?
What do you mean by
you guys?
What is this? What is this?
White guys. White people.
The white guys
bearded
posted about the glow flies. Okay, go on.
No, how many of them were made?
Oh, you think
the glow?
You think I know that kind of stuff? Oh, hang on. Here's the mock X video.
I think you know exactly.
No, the glow blow fly. Like last year that came out or whatever, 2 years ago. Last year. The glow blow fly.
I know.
How many were made?
I don't know. Like, honestly. But I know it was like 100. There was like 100 of those and like 80 of the... glow blow. Did you ask me about the glow fly or the glow blow fly?
No, the glow blow
fly. Okay, 80. And that I'm like plus or minus 10. Like maybe it was 88. Maybe it was, well, it definitely was not because we said 80. So it couldn't have been less than 80.
So how
but
do you feel about people?
1,000.
How do you feel about people throwing discs that are limited runs like that?
I think they're lucky.
Okay.
Let's go beyond that because I don't think you're explaining it the correct way.
2015, guys.
I'm framing this conversation.
I think the Mach exactly X's went into De La in 2015.
Oh, that's when we were still allowed to do Father's Day Law, so that makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, totally. That's
a minute. Okay, sorry. I'm with you now. I'm here. You want
to? So if someone were to take that glow blow fly and bring it on a camping trip with them because it was the perfect soft disc that wouldn't hurt people if they threw it in places.
To throw with lots of kids and friends and not tell their friend who purchased the disc that they were doing.
I hate where this story is going, guys. It hurts. I think I had a...
As do I.
I can feel it. I can feel something like in my sternum right now, like a small pain.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead and finish the story. Let me guess. You took it on a camping trip. Lots of kids. Everybody played with it and had fun. And you came home and thought, wow, that was so great.
Right. And then Robin said, hey, Joe, it's great. I went on this camping trip and I took this disc. I was like, what?
I'm going to do it again. It was great.
Fuck you.
It's a perfect camping disc.
It was Joe's and you took it. And you
it's ours. I bought it with podcast money. It's ours. But I had to jump in like as it dropped, like just as I was buying like a Discmania tilt or whatever else. I had to stand in queue to get that disc to get a limited ass disc, bring it to the Shedio for Robin to just be like, oh, this is great, which I love, and his kids love it, and his kids just anything they love in the Shedio, they take.
Get him a blowfly, for crying out loud. Like, not a...
Also, I should note that I found this disc in a stack of 15 discs on the table right over there.
Well...
And it was warped as fuck, and I fixed it. It is no longer warped. It is.
I mean, don't blame that
nice.
On me.
Hey, you still
blame
have
that on
it.
Our
okay,
collective.
Okay,
oh, well, I
thought this
no,
whole
no, no,
thing
I'm
was leading
in,
to
I,
you lost
Oh, it's not
it.
Gone. Okay, it's just like, it's
no.
just like.
No, Joe's just being a, he's like, he cares about it. He didn't know it existed or where it was, but then suddenly.
We have, that's like me being like, let me take one of your OG Jackal FDs and be like.
Yes, but those are on a rack up on the wall. So, like,
get
yes,
it on
if
the
you
rack,
took that off.
Okay,
get it on
let
the
me
rack.
Take any other disc off the table because I guarantee there's another sure. disc just as
like what?
Worthy of the FD.
Any disc on the table can be thrown.
Joe, you're a teacher, right?
Oh, we need to put stuff on the racks then because there's for sure stuff that shouldn't be thrown on that table.
What?
There's most likely, for a long time, there were like second run FDs and glow FDs on the floor. That's our
That's
own shit.
True.
That's
not
true.
No, the
FDs fault.
Have been on the wall the whole time.
Okay.
They're up there. There are no FDs.
What was your question, Tyler?
You're a teacher?
For
he's
most
not.
Intents and purposes.
Like, okay. For this analogy anyway, I think you need to frame it with Robin like, you know, how you would a student who's made a terrible mistake. You know,
nope, that will never work. That will make everything worse for us if I try.
Okay, just imagine
that.
Joe's saying this to you right now, Robin. Robin, I completely understand.
But no, it's not me. It's Tyler.
Like, no,
so
this
don't
is
blame
Joe.
Me for this.
Robin.
Okay.
I really don't like you right now. This is how you talk to your school kids because
oh, that's how you talk to kids. Right. You're totally on top of it.
And
you really nailed
disappointed
talking to kids.
Me. Your value is a lot less to me right now than it was before you made this mistake. Isn't that?
Nope.
I've never been a teacher. I don't know.
No. Well, you're a father, so you should already
well,
know
that,
that was a horrible
no,
way
I've
to
got
do
that
things.
Locked down. That's how I deal with
yeah,
my
don't,
kids.
Yeah, don't do that. No, as a father or a teacher, whatever you want to bring it, it's really, and Robin knows this, you know this, any child honestly knows this. It's, you know what? I'm not even mad. I'm disappointed.
I can tell. All right. So here, in my defense, uh-huh. the high profile discs that we have in this Shedio are in bags. Or they're on racks. They're not in stacks of putters and other things sitting on the random table that we have over there. And
yeah, that Maple Hill X-Buzz is no one cares about a disc like that.
Not really. No, that's not a super valuable disc. It's a cool disc. It's also in X-Line plastic. It's not doing any harm. But when you put a soft
that
blowfly
Wraith, no,
get that thing
not,
in a bag,
not,
man.
Also, not like. I just don't, like, there's not, so, like, if you cared so much.
I honestly don't care that much. Obviously, I knew it was not something I was never going to throw. It's just a fun collector thing. And ultimately, to be totally honest, we are much more in the world of, you got rad shit, throw it, than
it was collect actually, it. What I was trying to get at before you guys got all ragey was that it was actually really fun to throw.
Uh-huh.
And it is like a great, like, no consequence, like, throwing.
So what are you saying? Can you send us like eight more
yeah.
Glow blowflies?
Yeah, no problem.
And I threw it in a field and like it has no nicks on it. The worst thing that happened to it.
It's the stamp.
Was that one of my kids dragged like some charcoal nearby it. And so it's got a couple like charcoal lines. Mm-hmm. But those aren't even that bad. Like, come on, Joe.
No, it's great. I'm
this thing bullshit. Is in better shape.
Tyler, what are you drinking?
Oh, I was drinking a Teeter Rock.
I thought that segment was going to be way funnier, but you guys are way angrier than I don't.
Oh, a little Kolsch. I like
it's
it.
Like, so I have a funny story about this. I'm like, screw you, Robin.
I think
screw
Rob,
you, man.
I think
yeah.
Robin, I pretty think much. Tyler and I both knew that like diving in was gonna make us look worse than better and just time to just move on. You were geared up to just shit on us, so we're both just like, all right.
I'm so impressed by that story because I 100% thought that it was like we took it in the mountains, the kids, you know, whatever, and then we got back home like, hey, where's that disc? Like, oh, we must have left it out there.
No, somebody actually, another camper showed up and put up a disc golf basket in the middle of the field nice. Across from our campsite.
It was a disc catcher.
It was a traveler, actually. Sure, it was It was a dispatcher, technically. It was an end of a traveler. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, but they put that up in the middle of the field. So I had been driving with it previously, but I then threw it the basket and did not come near it. It was very, very far off. I had a putt, like the blowfly doesn't go that far.
Right.
But it does.
It does have prodigious amounts of glide. The most viewed, most fun wins video that I've made in the last 2 years is the one where we featured the Blowfly 1 and the Blowfly 2. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to see how it actually flies.
Have you watched any of the, like, the Kevin Jones had a video, maybe he's the only one who did, about the main event at OTB Warehouse?
Uh-uh.
So they have a full indoor course at OTB, their warehouse, that you can only throw blowflies on.
For real?
Yeah. That's awesome. Because it doesn't fuck shit
right,
up.
Yeah.
Like it. But when I watched the video with Kevin Jones and a couple of staff members of OTB, I was like, oh, that's real cool. They got like a few blowflies. And then I went there during OTB and they're rolling like 60, 70 blowflies all over that shop just to throw all around.
That's awesome.
So if you want blowfly throwers, like, hit up the OTB dudes, because they all know how to throw them on all sorts of crazy lines. They know what they do super well.
I was,
and you can actually watch a video of Kevin Jones.
Is it on their YouTube or
blowfly
something?
It's on Kevin Jones's YouTube.
Okay, I'll check it out. I was a skeptic. So 10 years ago, this is maybe going way too far in the weeds. 10 years ago, I was a wholesaler for DGA.
When you were in middle school?
Yeah, just about. Because there wasn't disc golf in my area, so I tried to sign up with Innova. I wholesaled for, I was on Prodigy. I still get their dealer emails. Dynamic, Discraft, and DGA. And DGA was actually the only one that I actually put in a wholesale order with. So I got like 100 discs, right? And I've still got a couple of them. It's a crazy connection that now that's my full-time gig. But I got a couple blowflies, and I remember throwing them with my cousin, and we were like, this is the stupidest thing ever. Like, you know, because if you don't understand what it can do, like, you can really write it off. And I wrote it off for a decade until I noticed that the blowfly is consistently, year after year, DGA's top-selling mold. And I was blown away by that.
That sticks.
Blown away by that. But I've seen it now because they come through the warehouse and stores buy a ton of them and customers buy a ton of them from the stores. So that's why we made that video. I was like, let's find out what it's all about. And we played 18 holes with them. And I was like, okay, this thing is groovy. Like, these can do some cool things. And I've had a blowfly and a glowfly in my bag ever since. And I've gotten a lot better at throwing them.
They're fun.
Yeah.
I had a great time. It was it took a sec. It's definitely one of those ones where you gotta make sure you don't like get a little overzealous and try to throw it too hard.
Oh yeah, fan grip.
Fan grip
all day.
Fan grip and nose up.
Mm-hmm.
Just fan grip and nose up and try to get a nice straight pull.
Or the mat ball.
And
yeah. So the only blowfly we've ever owned is this one, and I was too afraid to throw it, so I've actually never really thrown one except for drunken in the OTB warehouse.
No.
Yeah, if you ball
them, I got like 50 throws in now. I'm good.
If you ball them, I've noticed that the stamp will go. That's the one, like, I've got one that I kind of want to like keep nice, and then one that I've got in the side pocket of my bag that I use for the mat ball, and just the wrinkles, just crumpling it over and over, the stamp will go pretty fast. It'll become a blank.
What's your bag?
Just like in general?
Yeah, what bag do you carry?
So this is going to sound kind of bougie, but I have a...
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll see. I have a lot. I have probably 6 bags, and I go through different ones, and they're almost all grip.
Eh,
that's fine.
Okay, cool. I was worried about sounding lame.
I mean, I have 9 pound bags, so it's fine.
I mean, there are 4 bags.
That's
in
not
this
true. I just have 1 pound bag. Robin has a pound bag that he hasn't touched in weeks, and he's using a grip bag.
You've got...
Because he's afraid of poison oak and doesn't know how to clean his bag.
Well, you're one...
And I thought I don't know how to. I just haven't cleaned
your
it.
Your 1 pound bag equals my 6 grip bags, I think.
Yeah, real close, because it's an Octo-Hall custom, and I'm stupid, but I like it a lot.
I didn't buy those, I should say. I'm just like, I reached out like, hey, you want to make some funny videos? So we've done some collabs. So I've acquired
some bags.
Next
time you want to collab with them, you know, just let us know, and we'll jump on in too.
Well, I reached out. I talked to Levi for a while at Pound, like, because I had a video idea. I wanted to do Upper Park, Grip, and Pound, and do like the quintessential comparison, head-to-head comparison video, right? And this was kind of the predecessor to my Super Fair reviews that I've done for DGA. But I wanted to pit them all against each other in a series of increasingly ridiculous, that have nothing to do with it. Like, how far can you throw them when you're mad, you know? Or like, how much beer will they hold? Or how far can they be kicked? You know, that kind of stuff. Levi was like, I love that. We're way behind, and
but
I don't need... Yeah, I don't need to advertise, because... Yeah.
Because I am sold out every time, right? I release new
yeah, exactly.
bags. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? The pre-show is the time for me to do this.
Joe, put your... Stop. Put your shirt back on, dude.
No, never,
stop it.
Never.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Just stare at it. Stare at it. Just let it take you in. So we early on got an
nipple
email
piercings
from a company that makes...
Sorry, he said nipple piercings. What did you say? Or did you say nipple piercings?
Me,
you?
I didn't say anything. I just...
You
I
got
just
something.
Through it. No, I was trying to just move on and talk about a mistake that I feel like I made... on behalf of this podcast and sponsorships.
Belly button piercing.
Yeah, well, it got infected because all the hair, and it was just bad. Yeah. So early on, like, I don't know, months and months and months ago, and I have a plan to try and rectify this. I just thought it's a fun story for the patrons. Rovic reached out to us. I don't know if you're aware of Rovic. They make... carts that are like super portable that you can pop out and like hook your bag on, and they're like great for like bag carts, like in the same way you think about like a
Range Rover,
a cart for
Ridge Roller,
or like a cart for like a ball golf bag that's just made to put your bag in it and roll. Mm-hmm. So they do the same thing with disc golf bags, and they reached out to us months and months ago, and like, hey, we want to send you one of these. And I was like, all right, cool, I guess, like, neat. All right. And we were getting like all geared up through the whole process, everything. They're like, what's your address? And then I would send it, and they're like, cool. And then the next day they were like, hey, so, like, what's your podcast about, and how many listens do you have, and all sorts of shit. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, why would you get this far with us?
Yeah, right.
And then, asked that, like, I thought you were into it, whatever. I'm like, never mind. And then I didn't respond at all. And then literally within the next like 2 weeks, like five Slack members were talking about how rad the Rovic cart was, and it's kind of like
awesome.
Blown up and shit. Now it's like a year later, I'm like, shit, I should have just been like, hey, this is what it is, send it. But I think maybe I could still say, oh, it went to junk mail.
That's
and just jump back in like tomorrow and see if I can get a Rovic cart.
Mm. What's the? I feel like you're overblowing this by quite a bit. I do not remember
it doesn't sound
anyone
like
mentioning a Rovic cart.
I do. RG loves it. Luke loves it. There's been others. Like, I've seen a lot of people digging
so
their
Texas
their Rovic
people
cart
in their flat desert.
No, you gotta have place to play it. But I'll tell you, like, playing Lagoon last weekend, and even being in Stockton, I legit, granted, I was like super tired and hungover. On Sunday morning of OTB, there was a good 2 minutes that I contemplated just pulling a Zuka off the wall at OTB and just texting Danny, being like, "What do I owe you? I don't want to carry this through this flat shit anymore. I'm tired." There's a place for it. 90% of the courses that Robin and I play, there's not at all. But there's a time and place. It wouldn't be bad to have a cart here and there. That's all.
Rovic Disc Golf. What's the weirdest thing that you guys have? Is it the Rovic, or what's the weirdest thing you guys have ever been approached about, like sponsoring or like advertising for?
European ladies swimwear.
For real?
It's obviously like someone has like some algorithm where they just send emails. Like they obviously don't know anything we do.
Yeah.
But we were getting one.
Or do they?
There was like there was a good like
we had another company reach out to this week that does like rosin type material for your hands.
Uh-huh.
Grip type material, and they're like, no obligation, we'll just send it to you. And so I'll probably respond and be like, sure, let's see.
Yeah,
it.
That's funny.
But yeah, we've had it's more and more prevalent these days. It used to be that sponsorship requests were few and far between, but now it's more often that we're kind of like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were at the beginning, we were the ones sending out all of the requests.
Oh, yeah, yep. Sure.
That's true.
And then as we went forward and we were like, hey, we want to stay as like unbiased as possible. And if I'm asking for your product and you're sending me stuff, I know as much as I'm like, I want to be super neutral, I'm not going to be able to when you send me free shit. We kind of just like went through the, is it worth diving in and asking for shit, especially from like disc manufacturers?
Oh, no, I have the better answer for this. Remember that guy that made the video where he threw an iPad? He played disc golf with an iPad?
Yep.
That was the reason we never did it again. Because this guy was like, hey, I'm making this video. I'll send you this and I'll pay you this. And we're like, sure, why not? We'll mention your video on your show. Because at that point, it was early on and we would basically do anything. And it was a super douchey video. We had already mentioned it on the thing before we even saw it. And then it came out and we're like, wow, that was hella douchey. And
what was the point of the video?
Just throwing an iPad at baskets. And they ended up breaking a chain on the basket in the process.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those like, oh, will it fly? Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, almost like if you go back to the people buying iPhones and hitting them with golf clubs, be like, oh, look how much money we... Like, yeah. It was basically that. Yeah. It wasn't clickbait,
sort of trying to build this.
Right, and I know Dynamic did their, like, Will It Heiser stuff, which was kind of, like...
More fun and...
Silly and fun, but it'd be like, Will It Heiser, let me throw a $2,000 product.
They
it's
broke
not
a
the
chain?
Same, you know?
That, surely that wasn't a DGA basket they broke the chain on, though. I mean... DGA baskets don't break.
He had to put up a video afterwards showing that he fixed it because people were like, you're a douche.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that was when we learned that we needed to be a little bit more careful as like not like that just because someone wants to give you something for your airtime doesn't mean you have to do it. So since then we have been extremely careful and really only, if anything, giving out free advertising for things we like.
Yeah.
And I've asked for things that I want to check out that we've gotten, but I feel like we've done better at being super honest. Like I did reach out to there was a company who made like the thing that could like
cut the top
had
off
blades
a can.
Cut the top off a can so you could just drink out of them. And it seemed super cool. And I heard from multiple people how great they were. And they sent us a few and they just didn't work well. It wasn't a great product, and I feel like there was a lot of merit to it. And probably at this point, there is something that works well, but at that point, it didn't, and it sucked to have to be like it's not good.
Yeah, right.
Don't. But
that's funny.
I guess we're much more clear and upfront too, and things like that, saying like we're gonna be totally unbiased if. Well, if there are points you want us to hit, like how you make it and why it's great, we'll totally hit your points. But I'm going to give you an honest review and tell you how I feel about it.
Kind of like later in the show when we shit on the Quake.
Oh, yeah. I am excited. I'm off the clock, so you can say whatever I want. But it's nice for you guys, though, because Danny at OTB stepped in and was like, hey, you guys are hot. I've got $50,000 a year with your name on it, and let's do this thing. So you don't really yes. need to take sponsorships anymore, so that kind of solves that problem for you.
He actually just put his Tesla on self-drive mode and sent it to us, and that was the year one payment.
Yeah, and it was full of money. Like, we didn't expect that, but like, it showed up. We opened the doors. It's like filled with money. It's like, wow, OTB's doing well.
Yeah, I mean, it was filled with stuff that could become money. Eventually.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know.
Luckily, didn't have to cross a border or anything because they're just.
Lost the sour cream.
They're just right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a bunch of salt packets. Let's put it there. Like,
no customs or anything. Just open it up.
No.
Parmesan cheese.
Packets of Parmesan cheese.
If that Tesla showed up in Wichita, we'd be so confused, guys. We would open it and be like, what is. What is all
are there
this?
Not are there not Teslas out there?
Well, no, but also, you know, we don't have any drugs. Actually, that's not true. There's tons of meth.
I
was
going to
say my town was very good at meth. So,
and I assume Oxy, but you know,
I don't know those things. But I was going to mention that the Frisbee hat called Capsby. And then there was back to the sponsor people who've reached out about sponsorship, Frisbee hat called Capsby. It looks like a bucket hat, and then you take it off and you can throw it and actually kind of flies like a really understable putter. So you can play catch on the beach or whatever. And then there was
but then what happens to your head with like the shade?
You're supposed
stuff?
To like catch it with your head. I think that's the whole point is you throw it and try and catch it with your head.
But what if there's a lot of wind on your beaches?
Wouldn't work.
Yeah. Okay.
So then there's also a disc golf fanny pack. Like, it holds like 7 or 8 discs, and it's kind of like a compartment that straps around you like a belt.
I saw
Did
that.
Did you see
yeah.
that?
I've seen several different versions of this.
Okay.
There's the one that. Are we talking the touch?
There's
or are we
the one.
No,
are we talking
I
like
don't
the
remember
nutsack
the name.
One?
It kind of looked like
there
a
was
nut
one
sack. Nutsack?
Yeah. Yeah. There was another one that like strapped to your leg. Like, it had like strap.
That one.
That was right above your knee,
yep.
And then like had a waistband.
Yeah, it's like,
and it just was,
are you going to like drywall a room in your house that you're building, or are you going to play disc golf?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I sent them back an email. I was like, okay, I love your product, but just full disclosure, like, if you send this to me, I don't think it's going to be the video that you're anticipating, because I would love to have one of these, and I would make a video that would get this scene. Like, I can guarantee you that it would get views, but I mean,
with an Australian accent, that is an epic fucking video, right?
I know.
There.
Like, it's the perfect Australian,
yes.
Like, with that hat,
yes.
And the it would be, but you would be clowning the shit out
of it 100%,
the entire
100%.
Time.
And he was very nice. Yeah. He responded and was like, ah, okay. Yeah. Probably not. What we're looking for. Good luck.
I'm just getting Crocodile Hunter, or not Crocodile Hunter, Crocodile Dundee vibes hard.
Yeah. Never seen it. I thought you guys would be impressed by that. You're like,
not impressed.
Both of you are like, okay.
Disappointed.
Cool. Yeah.
Disappointed.
I've never seen it.
You remember this started with you being like, boy, I guess you guys didn't watch TV when you were kids.
Yes. No.
I guess actually he's actually just nailing down his whole point of his growing
Boom.
Up.
If it wasn't made between the 1940s and the 1970s, I probably haven't.
What's your favorite movie? We're just jumping all over the place. What's your favorite movie? Or give me top.
Oh, gosh, dude. Wow.
A top. You don't have
okay,
to go
Okay, family classics.
Number one
Let's
is
go back
hard.
To my childhood. Family classics. It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Never seen it.
Really?
Never.
Is it black and white?
No, it's in color, but like just in color. So you can tell like, yeah.
All right, go, keep going. I feel like I'm going to say a lot
of But you got to understand this one, though. This is like one of the most epic movies of all time. Basically, what they did was, let's make this 3-hour long movie that pulls in
out.
every single celebrity that exists. So imagine if we made this movie today, like we're going to make a comedy like the Coen brothers or something. We're going to make a comedy that every single actor above the like 100 list or something is going to be in this movie. That was It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Well, that's always shitty when they do that. But
anyways,
go ahead.
So good. So good.
All right. Next.
There's all these Marx Brothers. Anything the Marx Brothers is great. Cary Grant, like His Girl Friday, Bringing Up Baby, The Philadelphia Story. Those are classic and super funny.
Never seen any of those.
Wow. Okay. My family watched the crap out of Laurel and Hardy movies. We had probably like 8 hours on tape of just Laurel and Hardy episodes, which were like 20 or 30 minute episodes, and we have them all memorized. And do you even know who Laurel and Hardy are?
Yeah, I've seen like clips.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Only recently have I started to like watch The Simpsons, you know?
So just quick question.
Did you grow up in like
I guess we should backfill.
Hey, it's the apocalypse. We're in like a bomb shelter. We're never going to get out of here. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, you know, we're cool.
Kind of.
No?
I grew up in El Dorado, Kansas, where it was like, you know, the end times are coming and Disney is the Antichrist. So we need to keep. I hope mom doesn't listen to this.
That laugh right there was such a telling.
I really hope mom doesn't. Mom's not subscribed to your Patreon, right? Yeah, because I remember my dad bringing home a TV. My dad brings home a TV. I'm like 12 years old, and my mom's not screaming. My mom's frustrated with him as he walks up the stairs to put it in our family room. She's like, get that box from hell out of our house right now. That is just like burned in my memory. And plus, if you knew my mom, it makes it even funnier. But all that we watched on that box from hell were videos that my dad taped at his office from Turner Classic Movies and the History Channel, you know, like super safe stuff.
So was it difficult to start watching color television given how often you were beaten with crayons by your dad?
Yeah, definitely some triggering moments. I still even today have my TV set to monochrome. I just can't.
And now you play video games on the internet. Yes. Are you disowned by your family?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Rocket League.
Do you just hide it from them? You're like,
you know,
well, I guess they're never going to find it. They don't have computers to find
you. You know, the neo-Marxist like liberal agenda hidden in games like Rocket League, like you would never believe. Like it looks like it's just playing soccer with cars on the outside, but no, they've got a whole agenda. They've got a whole thing.
Fucking globalists.
Yeah, exactly. No, but hey, listen, I think I look back and I'm like, I don't know. I think I enjoy what I had given, you know, growing up, because I feel like I got to get in touch with like sophisticated comedy.
With 90-year-old men that maybe you'll
it wasn't like Ren and Stimpy or like South Park or something, you know? It was like actual written out by like comedy writers and really well thought out stuff.
Yeah, you had to create your own
entertainment. I know you said that with a thought, but I will just say
it's invalid.
Ren and Stimpy and South Park spend so much epic time writing that stuff.
Interesting.
It's insane, the writing process for that. But I understand where you're going.
Hey, I'll back off of that hard, man, because, again, I have never watched those shows.
Did you say my last name?
Those are just in the shelf of my mind when I need, like, a trash show to throw into a conversation, you know? But I've never actually watched them, so I really can't say that.
Oh.
I can't say that I could tell you anything about any Ren and Stimpy episodes, but I did watch some. And I've watched plenty of South Park episodes. They are hit and miss. Sometimes,
For sure.
Sometimes Matt Stone and Trey Parker swing and miss big time on a major political issue, and then a good portion of the country just kind of follows them on it. But they also make some pretty hilarious, you know, satire where you got to look in the mirror a little bit and what's going on.
Right.
So. That's their general goal, is they want to just give you satire on American culture.
Yep.
And just kind of go from there. But sometimes they get it wrong. Other times they it's fucking hilarious. So
yeah, no, I understand. I think Family Guy is the same way. Like, there's a ton of Family Guy that I'm like, I could do without this.
I do like Family Guy.
Me too. Yeah. All right. Well, we've gotten a pretty good length on this pre-show here, so we should probably start a main show. And
it's so big.
Mm-hmm. Girthy pre-show.
Oh, here, before we move on, I actually have a question. And it's a pre-show question before we move on. You've played Rocket League with Eric Oakley, yeah?
Have I? Actually was messaging him. I don't think we have, but we need to.
Oh, you
to.
Haven't?
Like,
okay.
I don't think we actually have. I've played with a lot of the DD guys, but I don't think I've played with Oakley.
Well, I think he's doing a lot of like more like Twitch type stuff or live stuff.
Dude, he's like gold 3 or whatever, you know, like get on my level or I'm not going to be messing around with, you know.
That means nothing to either.
It probably sounds good, actually. Gold 3, you're like, wow, gold. That's a good.
Oh, no, I'm platinum 8, so it's all good.
Hey, but you knew at least that there was a level above gold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know of Rocket League. Robin has no clue what we're talking about.
So it's like
all.
It's like Mario Kart with a ball. Yeah. As
kind
I understand
of.
It.
I mean, you're not that 100%. Far off, to be honest.
They actually
like a really big ball. Like if the shells were like a soccer ball and like five times as big and there was no road.
Right.
And then there was a FIFA.
Are you just describing space. Things like.
And
no, he's nailing it. They actually reverse engineered everything that you're talking about and just kind of put new skins on it. And you got Rocket League.
I'm pretty sure that was the exact pitch for the developers. They were like, listen, it's going to be like Mario Kart, but it's going to be on a soccer field. There's going to be a huge ball, and there's going to be cars
no
with rockets.
Roads, but big shell.
We're going to call it Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars. That was the name for Rocket League for the first couple few years until they realized
and they're like,
that's a terrible idea.
And they're
that's when
you're
I first
fired,
started playing, and then
Rocket
when
League.
They changed Rocket League, I was out.
Yeah, you're like, wow.
It's too mainstream.
As soon as Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket-Powered Battle Cars goes woke and tries to get a name that just everybody's going to, I'm out. Like, I don't have time for that.
I was like, you don't care about Supersonic anymore? I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You just lost a whole
demographic. Do you guys remember 2.5 minutes ago when I tried to end this and Joe was like, wait a minute, I got one more question.
I do that purely because... Well, I thought I was wondering if you had a relationship with Eric Oakley, and you don't, so we can just move on.
No, I can drop some names, but, I mean, I did see him, and, like, we kissed at Masters, but that's about...
I mean, you've already dropped all the names.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a great show coming up for you, and we'll catch you on it next. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening to that pre-show with Tyler Brickley. Best dude ever. We love having him on the show, and... we hope, I won't say hope, we know that he'll be back on many times in the future, and always great content. So I would encourage you to join our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast, where you'll get access to all of our pre-shows. There's like a bushel of them. There's a lot of them.
A bushel, over 100.
Yeah. So if you burn through our main shows and you're looking for more Disc Golf Podcast content, join Patreon. It's all there. There's like a ton of them. They're
over
out there.
A baker's dozen.
Yeah. Insert thing.
An adage for lots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. I like that. That was nice, Joe. This is why I keep you around.
I do what I can.
It's not just because you're pretty.
I'm getting prettier and prettier every day.
But yes, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. Check us out. We appreciate it. Keeps the show going. And we love all of you. But get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you want to put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you fill my throat for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.